This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Mom, Dad, turns out I don't like munching bucks. I just haven't found the right dick yet.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is the social hour. On today's show, musical comedian Michael Glatzmeyer with producer Jeremy Person. And now your host. He would have been a musical comedian also, but he couldn't even learn how to play Hot Cross Buns on the recorder. Deese Casillas!
Malav Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thanks for coming around for another episode. In studio with us, our guest tonight, the other half of the nearly famous comedy duo. The last time he's going to be in studio for good because he is leaving. Mr. Michael Glatzmeyer. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you, man. We got Jeremy Person, producer in the house. How you doing, buddy?
Amazing. How come I didn't get as good of an intro as
you? Because you're here every week.
Yeah,
he's leaving.
No, I'm not.
And that's true. And,
Jeremy's going to leave now.
Yeah. I'm moving, by the way.
Sophie's here. Sophie, how you doing?
I'm wearing a pink coat right now and drinking a white cloth.
All right. Well, that's something. How's your day been? Did you learn anything today?
The only thing I know is copper. You stick it up your vagina and you don't get babies.
Okay. Well, that's Kevin Hunsequiter. I don't know.
This is what rock bottom looks like.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Sophie, do you have anything in the news today about dead babies?
Right.
All right. Well, that's how you could have imagined that. You really do like stories about dead babies, that's for sure.
I bet you're all wishing I did some stuff about dead babies.
Yeah, we do want you to do. Okay, you'll do the dead baby stuff. We'll get it, okay? What did you do today, though?
Abortion.
Wow. Okay. I guess that's quite a day you did there. So Sophie's here. Everyone's here, guys. It's gonna be a good day. We've got Michael in studio. We're gonna talk about he is leaving. He's moving away for good, or at least for a little while. Because no one leaves for good. I don't think anyone. Anyone leaves quite for good, but Michael is leaving. Sad, very sad. Do you have any last words for Spokane, Michael?
I'll probably fail and come back, so it's gonna be okay. You know, I thought I was, I had so many good times. Deese and I was on the road a lot together.
Yeah, those were. But what about the good times?
Yeah. We stood at a lot of Motel 6s together.
Yeah, we did. A lot of Motel 6s. You know what the funny thing is? Michael and I stayed a lot of Motel 6s together, and we had some really, really terrible Motel 6s. I think Butte was the worst one.
Remember
that? We stayed at that one twice also.
They had a car body shop built in.
There was, like, literally the first time we stayed there, the guy was like, hey, you guys, those comics in town this weekend, we give you guys a free room upgrade. And we're like, okay, what's that? He goes, means we can give you a room on the bottom floor, ground floor. And I'm like, thanks.
And it had a microwave, but one of those like $10 microwaves from Walmart.
It didn't even work. We're like, this is awesome. We appreciate the room upgrade, man.
My favorite part about that show is, remember we went to the bar like right by there. And the guy at the bar was like, whatever you do, don't go to this bar. It's all just a bunch of liberals. His last time I went to that bar, one of those liberals bit me. He's like, liberals, they bite.
I got caught with the libtard disease. There was, we've had some interesting times on the road. We were thinking about it after kind of coming back from our last run and added up all the shows. We figured we've done well over 100 shows together in the last couple of years.
Probably almost 200.
Guess how many I've been to.
Zero.
You piece of shit.
Jeremy's actually our number one fan.
I just don't leave my house anymore.
Yeah.
That's okay. We have three kids. I'd be trying to get the fuck out of there.
That's the problem, is you just can't leave them alone.
Yeah, you just put a scarecrow downstairs. That's and true. Yeah.
I probably could.
Well over 100 shows. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy run. What are some of your best? What do you think was our best show?
The first one we did in Havre, Montana.
The first time.
The second time was kind of weird in that situation with our Airbnb.
Oh yeah, our Airbnb people we met the first time we were there, they were super nice, like made us cookies and coffee in the morning. Then the next time we stayed with them, I think they were like going through a divorce essentially. They're like super passive aggressive to each other, and it was really weird.
And then after our show, like the first time they came up after our show, we're like, you guys were so great, oh my gosh, blah blah, and they woke up and want to talk to us the next morning and hang out. And then this time after the show, it's like they just snuck out the back door and like disappointment.
Yeah. It was not the same. Yeah, and it was very awkward. You could tell that they were fighting, and it was they weren't conversational, didn't want to hang out. And basically his only thing was like, hey, well, we're leaving this morning, so you know, leave money. Yeah. Okay, thanks. We will. So yeah. First time in Havre, that was a good show.
I really enjoyed that one. Man, it's hard. See, this is what sucks. We've done so many shows. It's easier for me to think of the worst shows.
That is true.
What was
the worst one? Besides Livingston the second time
around. Oh my gosh, that was horrible. For certain reasons, the one where I had 7 shots handed to me on stage.
Okay, Flathead Lake Brewing.
Oh, like it was fun show. That was where we got the pizza, right?
Yeah, the deep dish pizza.
It was like a fun show. I loved the people there, but like I that night did not feel good to me because
hammered.
I just remember us at the bar, and then the lady was like, "Do you want me to buy you another drink?" And her guy, and then I was like, "Yeah, water." Please.
Michael couldn't say no. The shots of tequila were flowing. And the shitty part was this guy who was buying Michael shots was buying him. He's like buying shots, but he was buying himself shots of Patron and sending Michael shots of Jose. It was fucking
great. He gave me like the worst shots ever. So the bar felt bad and they sent me up one good shot. And I'm like, if you felt bad and you saw all the bad shots, it was like, maybe just don't send me any more shots. Yeah.
It is funny because we started really on this last run. We kind of started talking about all the shows we've done and trying to figure it out. And it's crazy because it got to the point where like I don't really remember specifics about shows. And it got to so many where I'm like, ah, fuck, dude, we were in a town and we did a show, and like, I don't really like Michael's talking about, yeah, this happened. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I can't differentiate that between one of the other shows we did. They just all became like this big blur of, especially when we'd be gone for like a week or 2 weeks at a time, and you know, like in and out every day, and you're just, by the end of it, you're like, I don't fucking even know where we were and what shows we did.
Yeah, the only shows like I remember like where they are is like the doing that we did the house show in Missoula, and that was, I know that wasn't long ago, but that's hard to forget that.
Yeah, that was, you did a house unique show. There was a dog there.
I remember. I just remember when we did weird shows. You know, I remember when.
How
we
did you guys book a house?
So it's this comic friend of mine, Sarah Aswell, in Missoula, Montana.
Super funny.
Super funny, super nice, love her. I met her a couple years back when I was doing a show in Missoula, and she was new-ish at comedy at the time, I think. This is probably about 3-4 years ago, maybe something like that. And she was... I just saw her go up and I'm like, oh, she's super funny. So after the show, I went and talked to her. I'm like, and I wanted to, you know, I mean, you always want to talk to people who are funny. And she was real nice. We became friends. And when Michael and I started going over there and doing stuff, we'd always have her open for us. And I was telling her we were coming through the area and I'm like, well, we got an off night. Is there like an open mic we can hit? And she goes, well, I can put together this. They've been doing this huge series of house shows. They're like these secret house shows that you have to like get a like password to and invite, and then you get the where the house is. And they've done like concerts, like music and poetry and other things, but they've never done comedy. So we're like, yeah, fuck it, we'll do it. And we had an off night in Missoula, nothing else to do, and we made money, and it was fun. So
that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, it was it's something I'd like to actually. I've thought about doing something like that here in my house. So you turning the upstairs into a little comedy speakeasy,
yeah,
doing shows like that. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that'd be. You have the good space for that.
Yeah, now after, that you're shipped out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Dees was very nice, and he stored my stuff in his house so it didn't get stolen in my parents' house. My brothers who just are trying to get that meth money.
Get that meth money. I got some meth money out of it.
Just a little bit. She actually, my mom just messaged me on Facebook. She said nothing to me when I left the house, but she knows I'm leaving at 5 in the morning, and she just messaged me on Facebook. She's like, I will miss you. Love you.
Jesus.
On Facebook. I'm like, you said
thanks,
nothing.
Mom. Before sleeping in the same house tonight, you can't get up at fucking in the morning and say, oh, no. You fucking bitch.
They already went through like a half gallon of vodka.
Jesus.
Between
Christ.
Her, my dad, and my two brothers. And I like, the only thing she said to me was like, oh, I got a gift for you. And she goes, oh, so I have some hot wings. She goes, I got a gift for you. And I go, oh, I'm like, what's the gift? Is she going to give me some money? Is she, you know, what is she going to give me? And then she comes back, and it's a goddamn package of mints. it's a little tiny blue. And I go, oh, thanks,
wait,
Mom.
Peppermint or spearmint?
I don't know. I was pissed. It's just
wait,
in a blue.
Blue?
Yeah, it was
that's
in a blue.
That's probably peppermint. That's an attack, man.
Yeah.
When spearmint exists, you can't give someone peppermint. That's almost like a slap to the face.
And then she looked at me and had the nerve to be like, I have some good mints, too, if you want the good mints.
She is admitting she's giving you the shitty mints, too.
Yeah.
How happy are you to get away from your family?
It's so weird. Like, I don't hate them, but it's like the most anything's an argument. You could be like, man, this spaghetti's really good. And my brother would be like, the moon landing was not real. And you're like, what the hell reminded you of the moon? Was it the meatballs? What the hell? Why are you talking? Why is this? Like, everything he had, like, he drives for Uber and
yeah,
stuff like that.
I'm still surprised your brothers drive. I've met your brothers, and it's shocking to me that they drive.
Yeah, I should be the one driving, not them.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
I should. Man, but he had this huge argument with an Uber driver, and he's like, he gave me one star, and I yelled at, and I got an argue with him. I was like, what? And he goes, oh, because over football and how I like the 49ers and the Seahawks. And he's like, you, and the guy said, I can't do that. And he goes, well, I do. And he, and the guy kept arguing
with me.
You can't
do that.
I'm like, you're shut. Just
Jesus
shut up.
Christ.
You're on Uber. I mean, you're driving. Just do your job. Just shut up. If somebody doesn't agree with you, doesn't like it, just go, okay.
And just
shut your mouth and do your job.
It's amazing what. How the more I take Uber, the more I realize that it's probably not as good of an idea. It was good in the beginning because they were vetting people and there was like some barrier to entry. Now it's anyone with half a driver's license and in a fucking car with a Space Saver tire can like be an Uber driver. And there needs to be more. They need to be more discriminatory. There's not often I want discrimination, but in this case, I want discrimination. Like I went for Uber always takes me a very precarious route to the comedy club when I Uber down to the club. It takes like it's a wacky route. It doesn't make sense from my house. And I learned that quickly. So I always tell the Uber drivers, I'm like, hey, disregard what they're telling you to. I'm going to tell you how I want you to take me to downtown. And they're like, most of them are like, fucking cool. That's fine. And this one guy, I'm like, hey, which way are they going? Telling you to go. And he tells me, I'm like, yeah, I go, listen, like, can we not go that way? I've got a better route. And this is the way I always drive. I go down there all the time, and I need you to take that route, please. And he's like, oh, all right. He goes, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, can't try that with those foreign guys. Those drivers are always trying to screw you. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
I think you had my brother as an Uber driver.
And I'm just like, dude, first of all, yeah, I know what you mean, but we can't talk about it. I don't allow that. No, I'm like, dude, you're working for tips. And also wanting people to like use you again as a service, you can't lead with racism.
Yeah,
like at least wait a couple minutes into the conversation before you're being racist. Like that's not the best way to. I mean, I get it. Yeah, there's probably a certain amount of people to be like, tell me about it, my brother. And, like show their fucking double fucking lightning bolt tattoo or something or SS tattoo. But, you know, I don't know what he thought was going to happen. Like, what are we going to do? I just start screaming the N-word.
Yeah. Like chanting.
We start bumping Rammstein.
Me and David actually had the worst Uber ride just the other day from after Josh Blue's show. So me and him ordered an Uber and this guy pulled up. And a van, you know, like those doors, electronic doors, came open, and there was a guy in there already.
Yeah.
And we're like, are you David? And he goes, yeah, I'm David. You're Michael, right? And I was like, yeah, but somebody's in here. Like, he didn't explain himself. He didn't open up and explain who the guy was.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he canceled his ride, and he won't get out. And so I'm just going to drop him off wherever he needs to go to. It's fine. Get in. And then
hey, well, how the fuck does that even happen? He won't get out. Just kick him the fuck out of the car.
It was bad. And me and David, like, we didn't know how to respond. So we're like, okay, we'll get in. And we start driving. And he goes, okay, where are you going? To the guy. And the guy goes, I'm going wherever they're going. And the Uber driver just goes, okay, where are you guys going? And we're like, no. This guy is not going where we're going.
Yeah,
and
now David, we're paying for this guy to murder us.
Yeah, David's getting freaked out. He's like, oh my gosh. And then the guy leans over to David and was like, hey, man. Do you want to do some cocaine right now? And then he leans over to the Uber driver. He goes, hey, man, can we do cocaine in your vehicle? And then the Uber driver's like, and David's like, no, we should not do cocaine. I don't think you're allowed to do
cocaine.
Like
how the Uber driver was thinking about it. He's like,
So David finally would get partway, and we're like, man, we can't not have him go by to our house. We can't let this guy see where we live. It feels like it was going to be like a double like gang thing where they jump us and – David's like, oh man, I left my keys at the bar back there. He goes, can you just let us out and we'll just go back there? And he goes, oh man, I'll just turn around. And by the way, it's like still a 5-minute drive back. And he's just like, oh yeah, I'll just turn around and drive back. I'm like, oh no, just pull over and we'll just get out. And he's like, oh no, it's fine. And then we're like, David finally goes, no, we're just going to get out and go there. He goes, I don't know where they are. They're just somewhere there. Please just pull over and let us out. Like, we had to force, like, basically, like, let us out now. It was so
awkward.
Yeah,
you guys are about to get sold on the sex trade.
Oh, well, if I knew that, I would have stayed in an Uber.
Epstein Island.
That's right. Yeah. Lolita Express.
You know what's so funny is, so the first time I, like, really ever met Jeremy,
was he was driving by, and I didn't know who he was, and he rolled down his window, and he's like, "Hey, you want a ride?" And I'm walking down Wellesley, and he just rolls down his window, and I just look at him, like, scared. And this was, like, probably 5-6 years ago, yeah, and I just looked at him. I was like, "No, thank you." And he's like, "Okay," and drove away. And I went back home to my girlfriend at the time. I goes, "This crazy guy was trying to pick me up in his truck."
To be fair, like, I had met him many times at open mics before.
He just didn't
then.
Know.
He just didn't remember me.
That's true.
I'm an asshole. I was at every fucking Uncle D open mic. Like,
I know.
Wait, okay, Michael, before we go further, I need you to tell Jeremy the nickname that Mike Collette and DJ Sandu said to you.
Oh, freaking, I hate this.
No, you're going to be mad that you didn't think of this first after you hear it.
So I hope Mike Collette and DJ Sandu listen to this podcast. So they can hear this. You should name it this title. So DJ Sandu and Collette hear it. So we're sitting there, and I think it's DJ Sandu who came up with it, and he goes, "Hey Michael, you play guitar and you're part retarded." He goes, "So they should call you Guitarded." Mike Coletta uses it, and the entire weekend, everywhere I went, like, "Oh, it's fine. Don't worry, Michael's guitarded. Michael's guitarded."
I was so mad when I heard it. I'm like, "How did that not ever come up? It's right there."
Was it you that called me the guitar lisper on stage?
I don't think so.
Somebody called me the guitar lisper. Oh, it was Casey Strain. He called me the guitar lisper.
That's pretty good, too. Yeah.
So
I think the Guitarded should be your next album.
Guitarded.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So, man, you know what's so funny? So that article you tagged me in today about like how bad that word is. And not guitarded. Guitarded is a beautiful word. I think everybody should say that instead. But I went to go read that article and stuff, because I talk about it in my bit, but I think that bit that I tell is more about protecting me, because I asked a girl out, and this is a true story. I asked a girl out in high school, and her question to me was, "Aren't you retarded?" Like, that's her response to me. And I literally just stared at her, and I didn't know how to respond at all. What I don't say in the bit is I still took her to the dance because I'm a guy and I was hoping to get laid.
I still wish you'd do the version I wrote of that bit for you, where it's Michael's like, "So I thought about it for you and said sort of," and I go, "But then she said yes, but I realized I wouldn't want to go to the dance with anyone who dates someone who's retarded."
Oh, man, I forgot about that tag. I should try that one.
You did it at least once.
But I think the only reason I felt weird about using it is because then it turns this bit, I feel like, that's supposed to be like protecting me and very sensitive, into a darker bit, I didn't want to go with her anyways because I don't date girls who fuck retards.
It's definitely more my style stand up than yours, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I couldn't see him saying something like that on stage.
That article though that you showed me, like why we shouldn't be like calling people that or saying that word, I like read the people who commented on it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have not realized, like, until you read the comment section on like a Facebook post or
it's
an
the most
article.
Uneducated, ignorant. It's the reason not everyone deserves the internet.
Yeah,
like we should be like China and like throttle the internet for most of the populace, I think.
Like the whole, like, they're like, "We're teaching guitar lessons now at the library," and everybody's just commenting like, "Oh, thank God, that's way better than a drag queen story hour." And you're like, Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with what's going on. Is this your entire life right now? Is that you stay behind a keyboard?
Yeah,
like, come up with. Oh man, it makes me mad. These guys, they're retarded, dude. I can say that. I'm one. I'm one.
So Michael is moving to L.A. What, Jesus Christ, Michael's mom is
just sending me sad face.
Mike,
I'm just sending back stop.
Send her back the eggplant
just
emoji.
Unsubscribe.
I did eggplant with a finger in the.
So Michael's moving to L.A. Michael, you're moving to L.A. to pursue a career in hardcore pornography.
Dude, I'm excited, man.
in comedy. So what do you have a plan of attack for this?
So we're actually, we're going to like actually stay out of the car for a couple weeks while we look for a place. But, one thing we did was saved up a year's worth of rent money, for it, because that a lot of people I feel like move, and that's why they come back so soon. It's because they don't go there.
A year's worth of rent money, Spokane or LA?
LA.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
So we have money.
it's going to go all to LA. We literally gave up our apartment back in June. Mm-hmm. And we're sleeping out of a car, sleeping out of people's cabins, sleeping out of people's houses, sleeping in campgrounds.
What about people you know?
I don't know if we stayed at anybody's houses that we know. But dude, it was crazy. But when we go there, I think we're just going to be – I'm just going to start hitting up open mics and trying to make connections, hopefully become a door guy at the Improv or something.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that's a great way to go.
That's always the way. Every single story you hear about a comedian, that's always where they started at.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to make it my home ground, and then I'm still going to try to perform. I mean, I'm coming back up here in February, so me and Deez will be doing another 1 week to grab my shit. and we'll be doing 1 week. But yeah, I'll be doing a lot of film stuff there too, because... Deez has helped me plan it out, but I've been working on a thing called Unsheltered that we're going to use. Remember the name, first name I had for that?
What was the first?
1 year to live.
Oh.
And everybody was like, ugh.
that's not a little good. Brutal.
So, yeah, I'm just going to kind of go there and see what happens.
So you're going to – do you know what area you're going to live in yet?
Near we were going to do beer. I'm retarded.
Are you going to start a freaking reboot of Life Goes On?
We were going to do Burbank.
Corky thing.
We're going to do West Hollywood now. So the area that I was looking at,
WeHo.
I found an apartment that was 20-minute walking distance to the Improv, 15 to Comedy Store, and then 42 any of the Improv theaters. So
in West Hollywood,
are you looking it up? Are you looking up the crime rate?
Lots of homosexuals in
there are.
No, you'll do great there though, as a singing comedian.
Yeah,
with all those gays.
Yeah,
they're gonna eat you up.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. So West Hollywood.
Because nobody can afford them.
There's, let's see. So we've got.
The cheapest one I was able to find was a studio, and I found it for $1,700.
I see for $1,400, Michael.
Does it have an AC in the window?
You can get great location, Sunset Plaza, lower units in one unit building, parking available, great location, low price, Beverly Hills adjacent, newly painted, drive by first before calling. That sounds like a bad sign.
I love how the address is about 1020 Palm Avenue. it's not even the address. It's we're about here.
You know, here and there. Full kitchen, parking available, no need to skip the point. Go check it out in person. Amenities, has a kitchen. Refrigerator, outdoor space, patio, yard. All right. The walk score is 91. I don't know what that means.
That means it's close
very walkable.
It's close to good things. It might be close to walkable things.
Okay. You're close to the La Brea tar pits, man.
Oh, nice. That area scared the shit out of me last time I was down.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Leave it to L.A. to create a goddamn tourist attraction out of fucking just a pit of tar.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh man. All right, man. Well, it looks like you guys should be able to do it, because we were figuring it out with what you guys, I think we figured out for a year you could budget about $1,600 a month.
Up
to $1,600.
So we were relooking at areas that we were trying to get, the areas with all the apartments. We were we would need $21,000 for the entire year.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's not. It's so weird because like here we went from paying $650 for a 2-bedroom duplex with a nice living room, a parking space, a backyard.
Yeah.
And then there we were looking up apartments and it's like $1,400. You have a kitchen and a living room. And then I was like,
yeah, and there's a fucking wild macaw that lives in the bathroom.
Well, it was weird. For $1,400, I have a 5-bedroom house with a 1,100 square foot shop in the back.
Yeah, right. $1,400 there, you'll be sharing a bathroom with your neighbor.
I pay $1,000 for this house.
Yeah, see, that's
damn
crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, and there, like I said, they have like apartments where it's like college dorm set up and you share the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I almost moved down to Vegas when I was 22, 23. And that's the way all the apartments were for in my price range. It was all shared kitchen, shared bathrooms, all that. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
Yeah, that shit, that would be tough for me. I need my. I've only lived in a, luckily only lived in an apartment once in my life, and it was for 8 months. And I would never. I couldn't do an apartment again.
Was that when you went to jail?
No, that was that was it's not a little different living piece. Situation.
That was the only studio Desus stayed in.
Shared living, shared bathroom. Shared.
By shared bathroom, it's just a bathroom where everybody can see you.
But it also doubles
meals
as a
included.
Toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever see that?
What?
So if you take your pillow and you suck out all the water, you can sit there and communicate through the whole jail through the pipes.
Oh yeah,
it's
no,
fucking
I've
disgusting, but it works.
Yeah,
well, if you what?
I'm only
so you basically plunge out all the water, you push out all the water out of your toilet with your pillow.
Yeah,
and then if somebody else does it, you can sit there and talk through the pipes to them.
And then you sleep on a plungy pillow.
Yeah, but they're plastic
toilet pillow.
A little pink. I never killed anybody.
No. Just man, give.
Wow,
me,
that's
just itchy.
That's good.
That's good.
Tell me more prison tips.
Well, you move to LA, you never know what might happen.
Yep. Michael joins a gang.
The should we? I wonder if we should. Let me see if I can find it. If I can find the. No, I don't know what I did with it. Never mind. So you're going to be doing open mics. You're working on. You're going to. Yeah. So I mean, comedy, right? Still doing. You know. And you got the book, you got the show.
Yeah, I have the book coming out in 2020. It's going to come out towards late 2020, called Fat Boy.
Yeah,
Which I'm super excited about. I hope my brothers don't read it. I'm sure they.
Is it
won't.
Not complimentary of your brothers?
No, because it starts off about how my whole life I was just like I want to be better than them because growing up they're. By the way, my brothers are 30, they're 31 and 33, and they're still the kind of people who you come in the room and they're like, you're fat. What's up, fatty? Hey, fat man. Hey, fat boy.
The Doyle's rule.
Or they like try to like, they try to like pinch your boobs or like poke you or, you know, if you're trying to like look
are,
at
are they fat?
Your phone. No, they're not fat. But I mean, when they do that, I'm like, oh, I'm fat. Oh, you live with mom still. God, fun. My brother told me the other day, he's like, I was really hurt because last time your wife was here for Thanksgiving, this was last year, he goes, I said something about you, how I was like, I don't really think he's funny or, you know, I think he should try to become a teacher or something because comedy might not work out with him. And she just goes, well, what's your plan? Like, what do you want to do instead of living here? And like, to my brother. Like,
nice.
She, you know, and he's just
hell
like,
yeah.
And he told me he got drunk one night and he's like, I was really hurt when she said that. I'm like, dude.
Do something about it then.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, I freaking. So that's the book talks about how, like, I was in special ed in high school and stuff, and it tells a few comedy stories about that. But the book also is showing you, like, what made me and what pushed me towards that was how cruel and crude my brothers were. You know, I don't know if you had anybody like that in your life.
I had two older brothers.
Yeah, and were they pieces of shit?
No, they used to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah.
They literally beat the shit out of me until my head was swollen or I don't know how many sets of stitches I had by the time I was like
Jesus
14, 15.
Christ, man.
You know what?
But I mean they never really made fun of me too much.
Yeah.
It was all physical violence.
What this book reminds me of is like when you see somebody sitting there and you see them like eat 6 or 7 hamburgers in a row. And then they start like wiping their mouth with a wrapper and,
you know, they're just wiping their hands on their pants, and then you're like, I think I'm going to go work out tomorrow and go on a diet. Like, that's basically what this book is I saw how my brothers lived, and I said, maybe I should go on a life
maybe
diet.
I should do something about this.
Yes.
All right. Michael, we are, I think it's been, you haven't been on in a long time, so I don't think we did this since last year on. We are going to do a segment we call The Rundown. It's a series of questions. Individually, they don't mean much, but together they mean a lot. It says a lot about someone. So just answer them honestly. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. If you could travel anywhere in the world, anywhere you wanted to go, all expenses paid, and everything was taken care of, but you had to travel with the person you hate the most in life, where would you go and who would that person be?
Mount Fuji, Japan in general, and you.
Okay, perfect.
I'm just kidding.
Anywhere in Japan.
Do you have sex hotels?
To the suicide forest?
Oh, yeah, dude. All right, food. You like food? You like pizza? Pizza's a thing in your life?
You just stared at my body when you said that.
Because you have sliced pizza on your chest. Michael has no shirt on, but he's got a pizza on his chest. If you could have one pizza for the rest of your life, not from a specific place, just toppings. But that's now the only pizza you can have for the rest of your life. You can't alter that pizza. Anytime you have pizza, it's just that. What would you go with?
Cheesy crust cheese pizza.
Just cheese? Just cheesy cheese?
And with mushrooms on top.
Cheese and mushrooms, huh?
Yeah.
Bold choice. Okay.
Yeah.
Still with the food. If you could have one fruit for the rest of your life, it's now the only
pomegranate.
Fruit. That's it? You can't eat a pomegranate. Who eats a pomegranate?
Fucking question is that?
You just said, what fruit? That's my favorite fruit.
Like, I'm offended.
A pomegranate? Where do you even find one of those? What is
Safeway.
Isn't that like Satan's fruit?
What are we, in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it's like juice, but...
What do you want, a durian?
Like juicy seeds. They're good.
Okay.
Like sunflower seeds that squirt in your mouth. Nature's gushers.
Pomegranate.
What is a sexy female's name for you? What's a sexy name to you?
Ooh, Tabitha.
Tabitha, huh?
Yeah.
All right, you look like a Tabitha guy.
I mean, Natasha.
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah.
I'm going to say fix it so you said Frank. If you could purge for 1 hour, like the movie The Purge, anything's legal, 1 hour, what would you do?
Kill all the spread eagle squad.
Oh, damn.
I hope they listen to your podcast.
I hope so, too. I need the numbers. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Flying.
Flying? What's on your internet browser history right now you wouldn't want anyone to see?
I erased it all.
I couldn't.
Because there was stuff you don't want to see.
If you had to get rid of one state out of our 50 states, which one would it be and why?
Florida.
Why?
Because it's Florida.
That's where your wife is right now.
Yeah, that's why. I'm just
If you were a porn star, what would your porn name be?
Tickle Pickle Nickel.
God, I thought that last word was going a different direction.
I did too. It's like, oh, that's going to be a hard ER.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Big Fish.
All right.
Actually, Truman Show, sorry.
Okay. In what situation in life, what scenario in life would you have to yell, there's no time for backup?
when I'm making love.
If you had to kill an endangered animal, which one would it be and why?
The spread eagle team.
they're not dangerous, too many of them. What advice would you give to a 10-year-old Michael Glatzmeyer?
You're probably not going to learn anymore after this age. So just be okay with it.
If you had a time machine, could visit one time in history, when would you visit and why?
I would go to 1990 so I can watch my mom give birth to me.
Would you catch yourself? Catch your own, like, fetus?
Yeah, I would, hopefully.
Who would play you in a movie? What celebrity?
Oh, God. Probably Mike Birbiglia.
Okay. What would the name of that movie be?
Uh-oh.
What's a joke you don't tell anymore?
Oh, shit. The other day I saw a homeless guy bite the head off of a pigeon, and all I could think was, I'm not going to kiss him now.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
From ABBA, where it's like, I don't want to talk about the things. Oh, The Winner Takes It All.
Wow, ABBA, huh? Deep pull.
Yeah.
All right. All right, that's it. That concludes. You won, Michael. You won. Good job.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was supposed to answer them super, super fast.
You made it.
But I think
I was trying to catch up with the typing.
You did
it's
a good,
impossible.
You did a good job.
I didn't know if it was like one of those things where like, go, 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 go. Because there's like half of those are probably not like true. Besides the spread eagle one.
That's we got to do it again then if it's not true.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We'll do it again.
Back down the line and see if he actually keeps with his answers.
No, I'm kidding.
Faster this time.
All right. So let's see. What do we got? Oh, I want to show real quickly. We're gonna get. Well, let's. We're gonna get into the news. Sophie's. Sophie, let's see. Are you? She's been real quiet this show. Sophie, you've been very, very quiet. Would you like to talk about the news?
I had a really busy day today, so if you did find an article about a dead kid, it'd be helpful to fill up this news blot.
Oh, wow. Okay, Sophie, I guess that's what we're going to do. So we're going to get into some news, guys. I'm just going to play Sophie's news, even though she's not here.
And now, the Social Hour News with Sophie Tomey.
Did you see the news this week? Yeah, neither did I. It's definitely not because we were drinking and getting high. All the stuff on TV is the same shit, but on a different day. So I found some interesting stories to talk about today. Accuracy not guaranteed, little disclaimer. Guaranteed is news with a little Sophie flavor. So here's the Social Hour News. Without further ado, let's get into all the cool stories that I've gathered just for you.
Woo!
All wow, right, I've never heard that before.
That's pretty good. That huh?
You don't listen to the show?
No, fuck that. I'm a busy man. Man, did you guys record that yourself?
Yeah.
Dude, that's great. Who wrote it?
Sophie did.
She's a good rapper.
Yeah, she is. So, all right, guys, I want to, we are going to, so Sophie's not here. We're going to get into the news. So I want to show you guys an ad. This is an ad someone, luckily a friend of mine, sent me today. Actually, Richard Timon, who of the fan show, who just moved to South Dakota to become the director of operations or director of communications for the Sioux Falls Arena football team. Indoor
Sioux
football
Falls Shingles?
Shingles?
That's called a fan show?
The fan show. He sent me this, and this is a great ad that South Dakota just put out. And it's so here I'll try and describe it to you guys as we go. There's farmland. Old guy.
I'm on meth.
I'm on meth.
Lady in a church.
I'm on it too. So am I.
Lesbian.
So am I.
I'm on meth.
Meth is not someone else's problem. It's everyone in South Dakota's problem. And we need everyone to get on it.
I'm on it.
I'm on it.
I'm on it, too.
Meth. We're on it. Onmeth.com. This is their new... This is their...
What the fuck?
This is...
Dude, send that shit to me.
South Dakota's plan is... I'm talking
to
about
get everybody on it.
A bunch of people, yeah. If everyone's on it, nobody's on it. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. So you got to remember that. If everyone's on meth, one's on meth.
Same thing. If everybody has herpes, nobody has herpes.
Right. That's what I've been saying for you. Here's the thing, though, with meth and with drugs in general. I've been saying this for a long time. If buzz driving is drunk driving, then that means like drunk driving is like got to be like driving on heroin. We got to bump everything up. We can't just bump up buzz driving. And that means sober driving is buzz driving. So how do you even drive sober? Oh, maybe on meth, I guess. That'll sober you up real quick. But yeah, their plan is to basically say we're all on meth and try and tackle. That's it is the weirdest. Also, onmeth.com is a horrible. So first of all, surprising it's that domain was available.
Yeah.
onmeth.com. Yeah, I didn't realize meth was still that big of an issue in some places.
They just paid a whole bunch of money for it. Probably paid like $40,000.
Just traded a meth for it. Yeah. Okay, give you some meth for that domain name.
What do you think on meth was before? It was just a bunch of people just super fucking correct.
Like hot or not, but for meth.
Oh, dude. Yeah, like would you fuck that meth head? But also, to be fair, if I lived in South Dakota, you would have to give me meth to go there. Right? Like, what is South Dakota's, I don't remember what comedian is, but basically they say the closer to a square the shape of a state is, the worse that state is. You know, like, you need like a hypotenuse, something with a lot of edges. That's what square states are the worst. Those are flyover states. There's nothing going on there. So the meth addiction is everyone's problem. Here's how to fight it. This is what this says. I need help. I want help. Here's the problem with this website.
So wait, that just said there's two different links. One said I need help and I want to help. I thought it said I need help and I want help. It's like, okay, not too many options.
I don't want it, but I need it. So here I am. The major problem with this website is, first of all, meth addicts can't afford internet service. Second of all, internet service in South Dakota has got to be garbage. What do you dial up AOL? How many people? The only times they get internet is when a jet flies over. Like, there's no way these people can get internet on a regular basis. So I think we should just give. I think the solution is give them more meth and just see what happens. Let's start like the Tuskegee experiments. Just start giving them drugs and see what the fuck happens in South Dakota. Let them fight it out. Put a biodome over them. Give them lots of meth and just see how long they can go without food or sleep. Record it. Put it out on fucking the Ring Doorbell Network or whatever shitty fucking TV network.
Do some meth gladiator.
Yeah, man.
Call it Biodome 2.
Yeah. It seems like a good... We probably get Pauly Shore on board.
Probably. Well, no, he's running the club now.
That's true. So, Matt, South Dakota, you're killing it with the whole meth game over here. I didn't realize it was still a problem, though. I didn't know, I guess, that was still that big of a thing.
Well, yeah, usually you don't know the problem because, you know... Like,
you're not in it anymore.
You're not in it anymore.
Yeah, that could be part of it. All right, so next story. The Dollar Tree is under fire from the FDA for selling potentially unsafe drugs. Here's what you need to know. That's the title. What else do you need to know, guys? I don't need to read that article. Who's buying their food and who's buying anything, any actual legitimate drugs from the dollar store? Who thinks of the dollar store? Listen, I buy my dog toys from the dollar store because I don't want my dog to live a long life. That's it. I know, like, I want SARS-laden toys. I want her to be just weak enough where she can never overpower me. And I want her to live till about 7. That seems like the appropriate age.
The dollar store sounds like a great place to sell drugs because if you're not getting many customers that day, you can just ask any random customer and they'll probably say yes to drugs if they're at the dollar store.
Like, this is like the Dollar Tree states that FDA inspections of foreign manufacturers that supply drug products to Dollar Tree over-the-counter drug brands assured we're found to have serious violations of federal law, including not testing raw materials or finished drugs for pathogens and quality. What are the odds that the fucking dollar store it's the dollar store. They don't have the money to make sure all these things are being tested. Do you know how much that costs to get things tested? Guy, it's how do they expect to get all these drugs run through this system? Like, if also the people who are buying drugs at the dollar store also don't care. They don't value their lives. They have steaks at the dollar store now. You know, you can get like, hey, I just bought a steak and some antibiotics for these worms I'm going to get from this steak.
I still want to do that video you and I were talking about where we have to cook gourmet food items, but we only can use dollar store.
Get, we should put it. We need like a max dollar amount. Like you get $10. So with tax, you have to get all those items and figure out what you make from that meal.
And then make our girlfriends eat them.
Tell them it's gourmet.
We made you steak.
You know, it'd be funny actually to get like a restaurant to have to serve it and see if you do like a blind taste test with like a dollar store steak and shitty seasoning, like just present it really well and see if people think would buy it, that it's like gourmet food. I bet you get some fucking pretentious ass piece of shit to think just because the presentation is good that it's on point.
Oh yeah, they'd be like, oh my gosh, look, there's a little flower on the side of it, and oh, it'll be good.
Looks good. The anyone who goes the dollar store is just like, I think anyone who goes the dollar store anyway, we should just be rounding up and putting in fucking camps. Like they just, here's what you do. You get those gill nets like in Planet of the Apes that they captured Bright Eyes and what's his name with. And anyone who gets into the dollar store, we just round them up and take them to court because they probably have a bench warrant or owe some sort of back child support. And that's it. And then we tag them and then release them back into the wild. And if we need them again, we can find them again. That's it. Because these fucking people are not, these aren't actual. Have you guys been to a dollar store recently?
They are pointless. Like, here's what I don't get. There's nothing, in my opinion, good at the dollar. People, you can get tinfoil there. And I was like,
that's what,
yeah,
I was going to say, tinfoil.
But you know what?
For meth heads.
Yeah, I got tinfoil there, and I used it, and there was not much. If you go get tinfoil from Safeway, it might be $3-4, but you're also getting 3-4 times the amount of tinfoil.
Yeah.
Like, I got tinfoil, and I probably used it, like, twice. That's how much I got to use it from the dollar store. And then I was like, oh, shit, I still have a casserole that I need to wrap up.
There's Michael bragging about eating casseroles again.
Eating casseroles.
Jeremy, do you have the story you sent?
It's in our group chat. It should be one of the last messages in there.
Let's see.
Dollar store.
Let's find it here. How far back?
It's just like three messages up.
I'm trying.
Oh, but yo, I see. No, I got it pulled up. I don't have as many friends as you do, so it's easy for me to find.
Do you wanna read that?
Sure. So this news story is a homeless man hurls bucket of diarrhea at woman near Hollywood Walk of Fame. Your future neighborhood.
Yeah.
Dude, I like that, man.
So a homeless man dumped a bucket of hot diarrhea on a Los Angeles woman near the Hollywood Walk of Fame. An unprovoked attack that left her with PTSD, she said this week.
I'd heard somewhere that it was like a doctor or an EMT said it looked like so much feces that it had to have been saved up for like a month. Like he was shitting into this bucket.
Well,
for like
she
a
said
month.
It was diarrhea, hot liquid. I was soaked and it was coming off of my eyelashes and into my eyes. And then one of the paramedics actually said it looked like the man has been saving it up for months.
How do you even, where do you start to clean yourself with that? Like they just take you to the morgue at that point and just body
car
bag
wash.
You.
Yeah. They just, that's crazy to me. He should have waited until April, man. And just been like, April Fool.
just baking in the sun. Can you imagine like how your brain can't even process how much, what is even going on when that happens? Like the smell, and you would never be right again.
Yeah. So she said, it's so traumatic. The PTSD I'm dealing with is beyond anything that I have ever felt. There needs to be some kind of help for the victim of these crimes. Like, I've never heard of anybody else having that shit happen to shit diarrhea fucking bucket support group. Like
she does that ice bucket challenge and she says flush. Yeah.
Oh my god, oh my god.
Starts just killing everybody.
Yeah. Man, that is crazy.
I that's the one thing. It's so weird, but that's what I love about big cities. I mean, I don't want diarrhea.
You love diarrhea. The veiled threat of hot diarrhea getting poured on me at any moment.
Me and Natasha, right when we got to the Hollywood area, right, first thing we saw was like this homeless guy jerking off on the park bench. Not the park bench, the bus bench, just sitting there, just jerking off.
Nice to see Louis C.K. keeping himself busy.
I just looked over at Natasha and I was like, man, I can't wait to move to L.A. Like, and you'd be surprised how many people you see walk around L.A. and they're just like full ass hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. There. And I'm like, oh,
what do you
God.
Think that homeless guy's thinking about beating off? You
oh, think the, he's like, the diarrhea bucket.
Man, I'd love to stick my dick in that bucket. He's actually, I wouldn't have wasted it.
He's actually saving up his own bucket of stuff to dump on people.
Here's a question. Was that just his diarrhea, or was that an accumulation of several people's
diarrhea?
That's
what I was wondering. It doesn't say anything about that.
I bet it's got to be multiple people's. I bet it's just one shit bucket for like a group of hobos.
I just want to see like the investigation, like where they're in the room and they have the bad cop and the good cop, and he's like, "So why did you dump the bucket of diarrhea on him?" And the bad cop's like, "Who was in it with you?" Like, just shut on him.
Tell us whose ass it came out of.
Tell us. Take it easy on him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good luck in L.A. with the hot diarrhea and everything, Michael. All right, Michael, are we going to do a song for Jeremy?
Yeah. Oh. So Jeremy paid me.
Oh, you've got my guitar. I see.
Yeah. Is that what you wanted?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's fine. I was going to say I didn't know you brought your guitar. That's okay.
No. Yeah. I tuned your guitar for you.
It probably needed it real bad.
Yeah, it needed it really bad. Jeremy actually was the first person to pay me to create a song for his kids' podcast, and that was the first song I just chose not to ever create. But
the podcast is dead now.
Yeah. So this song goes out to Jeremy. Jeremy, I'd give you your money back, but I already spent it for meth, cause I'm a meth head. Cause I didn't see that commercial yet to tell me not to do meth. Don't do meth. Don't do meth. Jeremy, when I'm in LA, walking around, I'll be thinking of ya. Walking the streets, hoping that I can dodge buckets of diarrhea. Jeremy, I'll miss you so much, even though I deny that time you tried to pick me up in your truck. I was like, who the fuck is this creep? He's trying to get in me super deep. Oh no. My mom taught me well to not talk to strangers. No, no, no. Stranger danger. But even though I'm gonna leave, I'll be thinking of you in my bed and hoping you're thinking of me. And if not, that's okay, cause I still love Jeremy.
Woo! All right, very nice.
And I know.
Finally, my own song.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Did you get turned on?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Oh god, the audio fucked up on that. Can we do that again?
Same lyrics?
No. all right. Okay, Michael. So tell us tell people where they can find you, man. You're going to be on the road for a little bit before you come back, or where are you going to?
So we're going to be going to Florida first. I'm actually I got booked a gig for this Thursday at a church.
Wow.
Yeah, a youth, like it's for like 20 to 25 year olds. Yeah, but I'll be in Naples, Florida, performing Off the Hook Comedy Club. I'm doing stuff in Pensacola. Coming back to Spokane, we'll do a Spokane Comedy Club with Deese and Mike Coletta, and you and I will be doing a run probably at some golf courses in Seattle. And but yeah, you can go on my Facebook at Michael Glatzmeyer, GLGLATZM as in monkey, A as in AIER. That's Michael Glatzmeyer.
Take a second to think about
Instagram, Facebook, But dude, I'm excited. I can't wait to come back and do that like week long worth of. I think the whole thing is people don't realize like how difficult comedy can actually be if you're working, because a lot of people I feel think comedy is just going out and performing for an hour, but they don't realize like, they don't see all the emails you have to send out, all of the like stuff you have to make for advertising, all of the work you actually have to put into the comedy.
That's the when anytime people are like, oh man, how are you getting these shows? I'm like, do you want to see the list of places I've emailed in the last 6 months? It's fucking hundreds of venues long,
and you get one for like every 100 venues. Yeah, you go, we might be interested.
Right, it's about if you can get 10% return rate, you're doing gangbusters. If you can get like. We're probably somewhere from 5 to 7% return rate on the venues. Luckily, we were really successful in rebooking, which is nice. Because I think that's the biggest key, though. If you can, it's easy to trick someone. It's like a date. Like, it's easy to trick a girl into going on a date with you, but you have to actually deliver on that date to get a second date. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, man. So. I think you heard that bit. I tell that bit about how I was hanging out with that girl one time and she looked at me and she was like, is this a date? And I thought, yeah, sure. And then I was like, oh, this is getting weird. And this one girl, it was like the weirdest date. And it was that situation. I was like, after that date, it was so awkward that I was like, I don't ever want to see this chick again. Like, she put her mouth over my entire mouth.
Why would you like, not want to see her again then?
Oh, because it was not. It was so
small pee-pee.
Yes, she had a small pee-pee.
No. She had no use for that big of a mouth.
It was like huge.
I think
like,
of any other dicks you could fit there, though.
Oh, yeah. She started calling, telling people I was her boyfriend. And I was like, oh, no, that's not a thing. And then I had to break up with her, even though we weren't together. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry, but we're not a thing. We can't be together. And she goes, can I at least give you a hug? And I go, okay. And I give her a hug. And then she goes in to try to, like, make out with me again. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
Damn. Michael's just bawling over here.
I'll send you her phone number.
Okay. Let's see. What else? I'm trying to think. Jared, do you want to talk about the world record thing tonight, or you want to do that next week?
Let's do that next week.
Okay.
When we're a little bit more prepared.
Okay.
I mean, we can run it down real quick. We're like just that we're planning on doing some kind of world records and filming it and putting it out there.
Do you have
or attempting?
Do you remember any you wanted to do, or you want
not
just
off the top of my head?
Okay. Wait, like you guys are actually going to try to attempt doing world records?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try it. We'll just see which ones we can beat. So, all right, guys. Well, I think that's going to be it for us this week. Follow Michael Glatzmeyer. Keep following the Nearly Famous comedy page. Michael and I will both be doing shows independently and posted on there. We're still going to be doing shows together. And the idea moving forward is we also want to use it as kind of springboard for up and coming comics. We want to, Michael will be in California doing shows and I'll be here when we're doing shows together. We want to start bringing other comics on the road and get them the experience that, you know, we were able to get doing that. And hopefully, you know, they are able to move on and start touring themselves also. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be something good. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Thanks for being really encouraging.
I like to back you up every now and then. That's why we were on the road.
It's
going to
be good.
It's going to be pretty good. Anything else from Sophie?
Let's see. Does Sophie have anything else? Sophie, before we get out of here, do you have anything else that you would like to say about your about the show?
Abortion.
Oh, we already talked about that.
Fucking too many white claws.
Yeah, no kidding, Sophie. Well, I mean the news is over, that's for sure.
I went out of my way this week to find stories that weren't about murders or dead babies.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. I'm sorry we stepped all over your articles, and so we did the news. We did that. So,
wholesome news about buckets of diarrhea and dollar store drugs.
Plus, I mean, you kind of struggle with the news.
My position is technically news, but a lot of what I do isn't news.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, what's your plan for the evening?
So, if they want to go and waste their fucking money tearing up their pussy,
what? Wait, what?
All right. I guess that's one thing. So, all right, guys. So follow Michael Gladsmeyer on Facebook, Instagram, social, all that stuff. Follow Nearly Famous. And as for me, you can find me this Thursday at the Mount Olympus Brewing Company in Aberdeen, Washington. I'll be headlining the show there. Tony Russell's going to be with me. And then this Friday in Lewiston and Shooters. And then this Saturday at the Black Diamond in Spokane Valley. This is our second show. First one sold out. This next one's going to sell out. Like, I woke up this morning and looked at ticket sales, and we sold 25 tickets last night to this show. So, like, it's going to be sold out, guys. So get your tickets while you can. And that's it for the Social Hour. I am Dees, and for Michael and Jeremy and Sophie, thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I would like to apologize to Peppermint, Michael's family, Livingston, Montana, Uber, South Dakota, Meth Heads, The Dollar Store, and homeless people in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, you guys are about to get sold into the sex trade.
Oh, well, if I knew that, I would have stayed in
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!